The Bible says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the privilege, Lord, you've given us to be in your house this morning. Thank you for your love, Lord, your grace, Father, your mercy. I pray, God, you illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay. Father, and help me to say that that's well-pleasing in your sight this morning. Thank you for the Sunday school hour that we had. Thank you for the choir singing, Lord. I pray that you bless and touch, Lord, those songs and help us, Lord, just to rejoice the fact that, Father, one of these days we'll see Jesus Christ, our Savior. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, this morning as we worship in spirit and in truth. I pray your will is accomplished, your will is done. All that said, Father, we'll uplift thy name, glorify thy name, Father. And I pray that your will is accomplished in these days in this service. We'll thank you, Father. We'll praise you for what is accomplished. Be with all the men of God, Father, as they stand this morning and preach the gospel truth. I pray, God, you'd touch them, you'd use them, that souls may be saved and lives be changed for thy glory and for thy honor. And, Father, that the house of God may be filled. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help us now in all that's said and done. We'll praise you. In Jesus' loving name we ask these things. Amen and amen. This passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 25 through 29 is a warning to the unrepentant, to warn them, those that are not saved, to warn them that they must be saved before it's too late. Amen? "See that you refuse not him that speaketh." That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's speaking of God the Father. For God wrote His Word, amen, and penned it down through holy men. That it was penned down. So God has spoken, and the Bible says, and the writer of Hebrews, which I believe to be Apostle Paul, we're not going to argue with that, but I believe that he was moved by the Spirit of God to pen these words to say that to see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. That's speaking to the unbeliever, those that are not saved, those unrepentant, that's turned away from the Word of God, turned away from the church, turned away from the testimony of the child of God. They've turned away from those things. And here there's a warning that you ought not to turn away from that, not to refuse that, but to accept that. Amen? What a great message in that one verse, that we not refuse the Word of God, but that we accept that and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. Every individual has the responsibility to refuse not. Amen. Every individual does. This passage is also an encouragement to the saints to remain steadfast in our faith. We've been talking about several different things in the Scriptures, about the purging church, that we get the sin out of our life, get the sin out of the church. Amen. So we can be a biblical church. Amen. And a church that is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so we find as we read this, don't refuse those things that God has said. If God said it was sin then, it's still sin now. Amen. If God said to repent of it then, He still wants you to repent of it now. Amen. And so we don't refuse those things that God says. In our day, there's been many to try to change the Word of God, to take out some things out of the Word of God, to make it don't sound so convicting whenever you read the Word of God, because they don't like those things that's in the Word of God, and they refuse those things. But God said, don't refuse it. Believe it. Accept it. Amen. Because, listen, there's going to be a consequences to your actions. Amen. So we find it's an encouragement to the saint to remain steadfast in the faith while we wait for the coming kingdom. Amen. We know that Jesus Christ is coming. We're assured of that. Don't refuse the Word of God. Jesus is coming. Amen. Hold your head up high. Amen. Don't be walking around with your lips dragging the ground. Jesus said He's coming. If I go away, I will come again. And He's coming again. Amen. Don't refuse that. Don't let that slip away from you. Hold on to that. Keep a good grip on the Word of God, because that's our hope. Amen. He's coming and He's coming soon. But every individual has the responsibility to refuse not. The warning is addressed to ye, referring to all. God is saying to every man, every woman, boy and girl, He's saying to everyone that'll hear, make it your greatest business in life to receive the Word of God. Amen. All the books in the world you can read, and I know people that read books, and Brother Clinton, bless his heart, he is a bookworm. You go into the basement of his house, you can't even hardly get through there. There's books plumb over your head. There's books on every shelf. There's books in boxes. And Miss Tanya, she said, I don't know what he's going to do with all of them. He can't read all of those books, but you let him find a book on sale, he'll order it, he'll go to the thrift store and find a book and he'll get it. I mean, he just loves books. But all of those books, every one of those books, even if you go to the Library of Congress and all those books that line the shelves, none of them would do for you what the Word of God will. Amen. But listen, that's the only book that makes a difference. Amen. So everyone that's ever lived ought to make it their business in life to hear and to heed and to receive the Word of God. God said, receive My Word. Amen. Listen, I'll preach the other Sunday on take the book and eat the book. Amen. And to feed on that. And God says to us to take My Word, receive it, do not refuse it. But preach for that Word, it convicts my heart, and I got to see it in my life, and I don't like what the Bible says. Don't refuse it, accept it, amen? And do what God says, repent of that, confess that, make things right with God, make things right with your brothers and sisters in Christ if you're against them or something wrong with them. Make things right, accept it, receive it, and receive the blessings of being right with God. Amen. God's speaking from heaven through the gospel. It is His voice. Men are drawn to Christ when the cross of Christ is preached. John chapter 12, verse 32. The Bible says, and if I be lifted up from earth, will draw all men unto Me. The greatest message ever preached is the gospel message. Amen. The greatest words ever proceed out of the mouth of man is the gospel message. Amen. The greatest words ever received by man is the Word of God. Amen. Don't refuse it. Receive it, then take it to heart, and listen, amen, with both ears to what He has to say. Don't neglect it. Don't despise it. Amen. Don't put it off. Amen. Listen, don't take it as a minor issue. I know people that say that they're saved as they go to church, but they could not quote one verse of Scripture. Boy, that's a sad thing to say that I love the Lord, and I love God the Father, and I love the church, but yet I do not know one verse of Scripture. How sad a state to be in. What it tells us is that someone along the way has neglected the Word of God. Not many amens out of that. That's true. Amen. I mean, I meet people in all kinds of different denominations that say that they love the Lord and know Jesus Christ. And listen, they don't know one verse of Scripture. The reason why they're wrapped up in so many different cults and different false religions is because they don't know the Word of God. Amen. That's good preaching right there. Just study the Word of God and learn truth. Don't refuse it. Receive it. The reason why there's Roman Catholicism is because there's one man who refused the Word of God. Therefore, he started Roman Catholicism. Amen. There's a man that didn't agree with the Bible named Martin Luther. Listen, he refused the Word of God. Therefore, there's Lutherans. Amen. John Wesley didn't agree with the Bible. Therefore, there's Wesleyans. There's all kinds of different denominations because they refuse to believe every word of God. Amen. Don't refuse it. That's a warning to us. Don't neglect it. Don't refuse it. Don't despise it. Don't put it up. Don't make it a minor issue. This is a major issue. Where your soul ends and whenever you leave this life and go to the next, where your soul goes is a major issue. Amen. You're either going to one or two places, either heaven or hell. That's the only two options. And it's your choice. Amen. It's my choice. It's your choice to choose where we go. We can accept it or we can refuse it. And God says if you refuse it, you'll find your home at the end of this life in a place called hell. Amen. But if you accept it and you don't refuse it and you read it and you receive it, you'll find yourself in a place called heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. God's speaking from heaven through the gospel. Amen. Those who refuse the gospel will not escape. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. The Bible says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not, who refuse him that spake on earth? Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Those rebellious people long before us, they didn't escape. Whenever they died and went to hell. Amen? That's Bible. That's the Word of God. If they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, if they reject the teachings of the Word of God, and they leave this world, they go into a place called hell for all of eternity. I preached on hell last week, won't preach on it again this week, but it's eternal. Amen? It's not annihilation, but it's eternal damnation for all of eternity for those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ and reject the Word of God. This passage makes it clear that there's no second chance for salvation after death, and that there's no hope for those who do not accept the gospel. Amen? There's no hope. There's lessons, there's movies that teach a second chance, there's people that try to preach a second chance. You don't find that in the Bible. It's not there. Amen? Once you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you go into eternity forever. Amen? For all eternity without the Lord, and never a hope for getting out of that. My soul, this is a major issue. I don't think the Bible's very important, and I don't think I should have to read it every day of my life. You ought to read your Bible every day of your life. It is our life. Amen? And I want to know more. Where's the songwriter said, I want to know more about my Lord. Amen? I want to know more about that place that I'm going. I want to know more about what's going to happen after the marriage supper of the Lamb whenever we come back to this earth, what we're going to do then. Amen? I want to know those things. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, said, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Lord, I'm telling you, our faith ought not to be shakable. Amen. Listen, we're looking in our society today, and I keep bringing this up, but listen, it's a real thing. It's reality that folks have turned their back on God. Their faith was so weak, it was shakable. And whenever something came at them, their faith was broken, and it was weakened, and now they have turned away from the church. They've turned away from God. And it looks at you look at them, and you think, well, what do you believe in? And they have no idea what they believe in. I just don't know what to believe. I've had several people say that to me. Tell me that. So, preacher, I just don't know what to believe. I tell you what, I know what to believe. I believe the Word of God. Amen. I'm a fanatic, I guess you could say. That's what they call us in these days. We're fanatical. Amen. I just believe the Bible. I make no apologies for it. Amen. I believe the Word of God. But listen, there's many people in our day that their faith is shaken. Their religion is shaken. Their characteristic as a so-called Christian is shaken. You can't look at them now and tell that they're Christian because they're not acting like a Christian because of things have been shaken in their life. God's voice shook Mount Sinai. Psalm chapter 68, verse number 8, the earth shook and the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Psalm 77, verse 18, the voice of thy thunder was in heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Listen, there's coming a day when the earth's going to shake again. Amen. There's coming a day when, listen, this earth is going to be in such turmoil that mountains will move out of place. Amen. You better study that Bible. Amen. There's going to be some changings of things of the earth. It's not going to always be the way it is. They're worried about global warming. Honey, I ain't worried about global warming. I'm worried about separation and destruction. Amen. Because that's what's going to take place according to the Bible. Tribulation period hits, it's going to be on. Amen. Mountains will move plumb out of place. You only recognize that place once well, I won't be here to worry about it. But anyway, the unbeliever won't recognize the place because it's going to be moved. It's going to be shaken. The Bible speaks of great earthquakes. Amen. They're going to shake. They're going to quake. And it's going to be so bad that men's going to want to kill themselves, but they can't even die. What a horrible way to live. Amen. The writer of Hebrews quotes Haggai chapter number 2, verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, the things that are made. He said, I'll shake them. Amen. There's coming a day I will shake the heavens and I'll shake the earth and the sea, and everything will be shaken. Everything that's present, everything that's been created, every bit of it, one of these days God's going to shake it. Amen. This will begin the great tribulation period, Revelation chapter 6. The Bible says, verse number 12 through 14, when the sixth seal is open, the stars fall from heaven and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Revelation chapter 16, verse 18 through 21, there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were put upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. The shaking will end with destruction of the present heavens and the present earth. Look in your Bible, 2 Peter, real quickly, flip over there, 2 Peter chapter number 3. Let me read you another verse of Scripture while we're on that subject of the shaking of the earth. 2 Peter, go with me. Go toward Revelation from the book of Hebrews. You'll find 2 Peter before you get to Revelation if you don't back up. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. The Bible says in verse number 7, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse number 10, but the day of the Lord would come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There's coming a day. Amen. There's coming. It's going to happen. God's going to shake the earth. He's going to shake the heavens, and the earth will be burned up. It's going to be consumed with fire. Notice with me back up there in 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the day, that one day is with the Lord is a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but it's long suffering. Hallelujah. Long suffering. To us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. He's warned us, don't refuse it, listen to it, and receive it. Verse 11 of 2 Peter chapter 3, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking forward and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, you know what that promise is? It's His Word. Amen. According to His Word, look for, this is what we do, nevertheless we, verse 13, nevertheless we that are saved, amen, according to His Word, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even also, or even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. These things are going to come to pass. It's going to shake away. Hallelujah. Amen. The shaking and destruction of this present heavens and present earth. But listen, we're looking at the promises of the Word of God. Amen. I'm not fearful of those days because I'm not going to be here. I'll see it from the other side. Amen. There's some things which cannot be shaken. And those are things pertaining to Christ and His redemption. Whatever, listen to me, whatever is in Christ cannot be shaken and it cannot be destroyed. If the house of God, the church you attend, is in Christ, if it's in the Word of God and it's a biblical church, it cannot be destroyed and it will not be shaken. How do you know that? Because Matthew 16, the Bible says, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. If it's in Christ, if the church is a biblical church and it's according to the Word of God, it will not be shaken and it will not be destroyed. Amen. Your life, my friend, if it's in Christ, if you're living your life in Christ and you're in His Word, your life will not be destroyed and it will not be shaken. Can I get an amen right there? Hey, listen, if you're in Christ, you're walking in Christ, and you're being you're fellowshipping with Christ and you're walking in love with the Savior, your life will not be shaken. I believe the Bible says, what can man do to me? Amen. What can man? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. He's the beginning, amen, the firstborn from the dead, the head of the new creation. And whatsoever is in Him is safe from that great shaking that'll come. Safety, the Bible says, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 9. Safety is to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 28, back in Hebrews chapter number 12. Verse 28, wherefore? What's that wherefore, therefore? Because of all these things we just talked about. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Hallelujah. Where we're headed, honey, can't be destroyed. No matter what missiles they want to shoot, no matter how strong and how powerful they make it, it'll never destroy the kingdom of God. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The kingdom of Christ exists already. As a matter of fact, according to the Bible, Christ sits upon His throne. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father there on the throne. Though it's not come to earth yet, is an eternal throne, it's an eternal kingdom, according to Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 7, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, Luke chapter 1, verse 33. It is an eternal kingdom that is on its way, but it's already been established. Amen? Cannot be destroyed. We enter this kingdom spiritually at salvation, according to the Word of God, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. The Bible says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Moment of salvation, you're translated. How's it feel to be translated? Boy, it feels good on the inside, I can tell you that, amen. Might not look too good on the outside, but the inside's been translated. Amen? Into the kingdom of His dear Son. But in the physical realm, we're waiting still for that kingdom to come, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, we must serve God, as according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, we must serve God acceptably. This reminds us that God can be served unacceptably. There's many people do things in the name of Christ, and it is unacceptable unto the Lord. We talked about that a few weeks ago when we dealt with the book of Hebrews, the book of Romans chapter number 12. How ironic that Romans chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 12 both talk about the same thing as in serving the Lord acceptably. I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a sacrifice holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. Which is just our reasonable service. Moving on. We serve God acceptably by His grace. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28, let us have grace. Let us have grace. I preached here a few weeks ago that grace is the power of the child of God. Amen. Grace is our power. How do we live a life that acceptable? By the grace of God. Amen. We stay on our knees, we stay in the Word, and that helps us to live our life acceptably unto the Lord. Let us have grace. The child of God cannot serve God acceptably in his own strength, neither can they save themselves from hell by their good works. Doesn't happen that way. God has provided everything for this life and for eternity. God's provided. If God provided us a Savior, to save us from a devil's hell, don't you think that He would supply everything that we need in this life? To live this life that would be well-pleasing unto the Lord? Don't you think He would supply that? Well, I don't think that our Savior would come to this earth and give His life for somebody that they can go to heaven and yet leave them here without anything to help them with. Well, you're saved. You believe in me. Now you're going to go to heaven and make it the best you can. It doesn't work that way. God's give us everything we need. He's give us grace. He's give us mercy. He's give us power. He's give us strength. Preacher, I can't live that life. Oh, yes, you can. The Word of God says you can. God says you can. If you say you can't live that life, it's because you're trying to do it in your flesh and you left God out of the equation. Amen. God helps us do that. I can't do what I do. I can't work a 70-hour week and preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and teach on Sunday school and all. I can't do all that in my strength. I'm weak. But in my weakness, He's strong. Amen. I've got more energy right now. I could work a week right now and not even worry about it. I feel that the Lord has given me power to preach this morning, and thank God for that, because I didn't have it when I came in here. Gives us strength. It gives us everything that we need to pertaining to this life and for all eternity. Hallelujah. The Bible says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. He's given us all things. Preacher, I can't live that life. The drug addict says, I can't live that life. I rely on my drugs. I have to have my fix. I have to have my fix too. I'm a Jesus junkie. Listen, I got to have my fix too. Every morning I get up, I got to have some of the Word of God. Amen. I've got to feed on that Word of God, and I've got to meditate on that Word of God. I can't make it without that through my day. Got to have it. I'm hooked on Jesus. Amen. Well, that's another message. I might need to, honey, write that down. I might need to preach that right there. I'm hooked on Jesus. Amen. Many people talk about hooked on phonics. I'm hooked on the Word of God. Amen. I've got to have my fix. Amen. I've got to have it every day. And He's given us everything that we need. And the power that we have is through Him, through the knowledge of Him that has called us unto glory and virtue. The Word of His grace, the Scripture, the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. How can I live that life? How can I do those things? The Word of God is able to build you up. Amen? The Word of God is able to help your faith to grow stronger. The Word of God has helped you to have faith in the Word of God. I had a gentleman tell me one time, he's a black gentleman, I'm not prejudiced at all. Red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in His sight. Amen? Don't make no difference where they're from. Everybody's got a soul, and God's not willing that any should perish. But this black man told me one time, he said, Preacher, he said, I can't live the life that you live. He said, I can't be holy like you're holy. I said, man, do you know who I am? He said, well, he said, you're a preacher, right? I said, yep, that don't make me holy and sinless. I said, I try to live the best that I can according to the Word of God, and it's by the power of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God that I am what I am. And he says, I can't live that life. I don't know how to do those things that you do. And he said, I'm a wicked sinner. And he said, I can't do those things. I said, you're absolutely right. You can't. In your flesh, in yourself, you cannot do that. But with God, the Bible says, His Word says, I'm about ready to have a Baptist connection. Amen. The Bible says that in His Word, He says, with God, all things are possible. Amen. The drug addict can quit the drugs. Amen. The drunkard can quit the drink. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, the fornicator can quit fornicating. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Stay out of the Word and try to do it yourself. You'll never make it. Many wonder why so many come to church and they come in and they make a profession and they go out and they don't come back. And then they say, well, I don't understand what my life's such a wreck. Well, I can explain it to you. You came and got a little taste of it, but you left it. Amen? Get back to the Bible. Get back to the Word of God. And listen, if you truly repented of your sins, you can't just do that and run away from the Word of God. You've got to dwell in it. Amen? And feed upon it and let it soak into your mind and your heart. Hallelujah. The Bible says which things of these the precious Word of God can make the man of God perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We have the anointing at salvation. We have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It dwells in us. It's called the Comforter. When Jesus went away, He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Whoop. What a Savior. I'll not leave you comfortless. So He sends the Comforter, which comforts our soul. Amen? Hallelujah. He sends that, and He's not only just the Comforter, but He's the Teacher. And He helps us to understand some of the things that God has told us in His Word. We have the throne of grace where we can find grace to help in the time of need. Preacher, I have need and I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. I've had several people in the last few weeks that's contacted my wife, and we're trying to help some folks. And Lord help, they've got need and they need help. The problem is they won't listen to the Word of God and they won't listen to us. When you choose to do that, then you're making your decision yourself. You're trying to do it on your own. And just whenever you get tired of that, come back. We'll try to help you. Amen. This is what the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, let us therefore... And to understand what therefore is therefore, you got to go back and read the verses before that. So let's go ahead and just do that right quickly. Verse number 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. He knows everybody and everything, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. See, and then that we have this great high priest, namely Jesus Christ, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What does that mean? That means He knows every pain. He knows every heartache. He knows every situation. He knows every struggle. Amen. He knows it all. Amen. He cannot, listen, the Bible says He cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands. He knows. He's 100% man and was 100% God. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now we come to verse number 16. Let us therefore, because we've got such a great high priest, hallelujah, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What's your struggle today? Hey man, what's your burden today? I'll tell you where the help is found. At this old-fashioned altar. Hey man, listen. Maybe tonight I'll preach on altars. We don't see a lot of altars used in our day. You go back and study the altar in the Bible, the people of God would fall down on the altar. And they would plead their cause and their case to the Lord on the altar. And that's what the altars are for. Amen. It's not a public speculation. Amen. It's not for us to, oh, I wonder what's going on in their life. That's not what it's about. Don't worry about what people think about you. Worry about what God thinks about you. Amen. Make sure things are right between you and Him. Don't worry about everybody else. You get things right between you and God, then all the rest will fall into place. Amen. That's good preaching. But we need to find ourselves on the altar if we have some circumstance or some burden, if we need help in this walk of life. Where am I going to find it? Preacher, I can't live that life. Well, yes, you can. Your help's in the Word of God. God's given you written instructions. Written down. This is what I want you to do. This is how you can do that. This is how you can walk in faith. This is how you can trust Me. Because My Word is forever settled in heaven. Nobody can change any of it. They might try, but they can't change it. Amen. God says, I give you My Word. Many people have told me things. They said, I give you My Word. I'm going to do this. And guess what? Most of the time they don't do it. Y'all ever had anybody treat you like that? I'll give you My Word. I promise I'll be there. And then they don't show up. Had somebody treat me like that yesterday. Had a meeting yesterday. We were supposed to have been there. Planned it 2 weeks in advance. So they had plenty of time to be there. Guess what? They didn't show up. Anyway, people tell you things like that. Amen. I promise. I guarantee you this. According to the Word of God, you can believe the Word of God. Amen. Not one jot or not one tittle. Amen. Is wrong. It's absolute truth. If God pinned it down and gave it to us and says, listen, here's everything you need. This word, not words of the world, not words of Dr. Spock, not words of the Library of Congress or whatever else, not those words, but this word, it gives us everything we need. Everything we need. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. Chapter 4 talks about having grace in a time of need, in a time of struggles, in a time of burdens, in a time that, listen, in the time when we sin against God. A preacher, I said something this week I really shouldn't have said. He didn't know what to do good to him and his sin. Confess it. Get it right. Amen? Amen. Preacher, I had a fault this week and I really shouldn't have had that fault. It was an impure fault and preacher, I feel so bad that I did that. Don't beat yourself up. Get your mind under captivity. Amen. draw that thing in and confess that, get over it, move on, confess it to the Lord and repent of it and keep living. Amen. Don't let your mind cause you to be in a trap. Amen. Amen. How can I do that? By the Word of God. That's good stuff, isn't it? Unshakable faith. Think God could forgive me, preacher, for what I've done? Think God could forgive me, preacher, for what I said? Let's turn that question around. You think God can't? Amen? You think God can't forgive you? Absolutely can forgive you. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. According as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have the throne of grace where we can find grace to help in a time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We can serve God acceptably in reverence and godly fear, as we find in verse number 28, the latter part of that. We may serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Fear is necessary. It's a necessary part of serving God, but it's not a fear that God's going to destroy us. It's got to be the right kind of fear. It's a reverential fear. Right. Amen? He's the Father. And my fear is not that He's going to destroy me, but my fear is that I'm going to disappoint Him. Right. That's reverential fear. That I'm going to disappoint Him. I'm going to do something that's not well pleasing in His sight. That's the fear that we serve God with. Is everybody with me? With reverence and godly fear. The godly fear is not fearing God. The Bible says in verse 29, "For our God is a consuming fire." And one of these days He's going to consume the earth with fire. But we don't fear that because we're believers. What we fear is that I'm going to disappoint Him. I'm going to do something that's not well-pleasing. He says in His Word, we can live a life that is acceptable unto God. Amen? Whereby we may serve God acceptably. You mean I can live a life that's well-pleasing unto the Lord? Absolutely. What happens if I live a life that's acceptable to the Lord? Well, people see Christ in you, they want to know what you got that makes you so different. And sometimes people want what you have. Amen? They accept it or reject it. Some of them refuse it. But then you get the blessings of the Lord. Amen? The blessings of God will be on your life. Good stuff. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." The writer of Hebrews is not saying that the believer is in danger of being consumed by God's fire. This would contradict all the lots of scriptures, many scriptures in the New Testament. The fire of God's wrath fell upon Jesus so that it would not fall upon those who trust in Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15 describes the believer's judgment. It plainly states that while the careless believer is in danger of losing rewards, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What does that mean? That God's a consuming fire. Well, He's going to consume me. No, it's not. He consumes the wicked. Those believers are saved so as by fire. So as by God, amen, we're saved. We can fall on the foundation, but we cannot fall off of it. The warning goes back to the beginning of this passage, verse number 25. "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." It is the unbeliever who rejects God's voice that is in danger of hell fire. Not the believer, the unbeliever. At the same time, the believer should never forget or presume upon God's character. He is holy and He judges sin. Some people think because they're saved, they never have to worry about judgment. That's wrong. Amen? If we sin, we be disobedient unto the Lord, there is coming a day, amen, we'll stand before Him. And He's gonna deal with us. We lose rewards. Or we gain rewards. So the believer must understand that God is holy and we're to be holy. He said in the book of 1 Peter, "Be ye holy as I am holy." The believer who remembers this will rejoice over the propitiation that Christ purchased. He will not take sin lightly, knowing that God will not overlook sin, that unconfessed sin will break his communion with God and the believer, hinder the believer's testimony, bring church discipline, harm the church and the member's family, disqualify an individual from service, and that there's even a sin unto death. which we won't want to get into all that. Amen. I just believe the Bible, that your faith and my faith can be unshakable. Amen. I believe that. How's your faith today? Is your faith strong? Oh, I believe God. That's easy to say. What does your life say? Amen. Now, most of you are here this morning because you believe God. Amen. You ain't scared of no virus and all that mess going on in the world. You ain't scared of what somebody's going to say about you. You're here this morning because your faith is unshakable. Amen. Some won't come back tonight. Some won't come Wednesday night. Some have to work. I understand that. I'm not picking on those that have to work. I have to work myself. Might not make it Wednesday night myself, but anyway. But I'm talking about those that just lay out. They say with one thing and they do with another. Amen. How's your faith? Preacher, I don't know if I can live that life. But we had somebody to visit our church a few Sundays back. And that individual said to me, and some of you probably seen her talking to me out in the parking lot. She told me that she needed to be in church. She said, I know my life's a wreck and I need to be in church. Where's she at? She's trying to do it on her own. And until she gets tired of that road, until she gets tired of that path, it's going to be destruction and begging as long as she lives that way. So I know the Bible tells me that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Amen. Never saw that. Why is that? Because God takes care of His people. God takes care of His own. Would God take care of you? Absolutely. Can you live a life that is well pleasing to the Lord? Absolutely. Because He wrote it down and He said we could. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again.